Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about some of the things that you do as a Christian. You pray to God. You, under normal circumstances, you go to church on Sunday morning to worship, to listen to God's word. You get up early, perhaps at least earlier than you normally would on your day off. If you have kids, you get your kids up too, and you get them ready, and you bring them to church, even though sometimes they might be kicking and screaming against you or against each other. It's not always easy. You give up that privilege of being able to sleep in and relax in order to hear God's word. And when you go to church, at a certain time in the worship service, you put some of the money that you earned by your hard work into the offering plate, and you give it as an offering to God. Maybe you pay money, more money than most other people around you, out of your own pocket to send your child to a Christian school, whether that's an elementary or a high school or a Christian university, because you value an education in God's word for your child. Now, some people in the world around you might look at you and all these things that you do and say you're out of your mind. Why would you sacrifice your money, your time, your sleep? Why would you pray to God? You don't even know he exists. You're out of your mind. And of course, all these things really do show that as a believer in Jesus, you are out of your mind. That is, you are out of the mind that you came into this world with. You are out of your inherited mindset that was like the mindset that Adam and Eve had after they fell into sin. In our reading, the Apostle Paul writes about another mindset, the attitude, the mindset that Jesus, our Savior, had. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, he writes, "Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed." However, we find just the opposite of that mindset of Jesus on display in the Garden of Eden, not long after God had created the world in perfection. God had placed Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden, the perfect place that he had created just for them to live and to enjoy. But not long after that perfect creation, that perfect preparation of God for them, a change took place. And contrast that with Jesus. Whereas Jesus gave up the equality with God the Father that was his by right, that was his as God, in order to become a man, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve listened to the temptation of the devil, they grasped instead at equality with God in order to try to become like God or to become gods themselves. That was Satan's temptation to them. He told them, he lied and said, "You will be like God." And so Adam and Eve were actually out of their mind, out of that original mindset that God had created, that original perfect harmony with the will of God, and they fell into that trap and into that lie of the evil one. And that fallen, sinful condition continues to this day, passed down from parents to children over every generation since Adam and Eve. As we look at the world around us, we see that one big thing that is emphasized in popular psychology and self-help resources is the focus on self-esteem and self-assertiveness. And although this is something that we actually need very little training in because of our natural, selfish, sinful nature, Yet this attitude is so often promoted in books and in seminars and in workshops and YouTube videos to urge people to assert themselves and to take what they want for themselves, to focus only on their desires, really is an appealing philosophy to people. Because according to our sinful nature that we are now born with, inherited from Adam and Eve after the fall into sin, now we naturally do not have the mind of Christ within us. And of course, this focus on self-esteem and self-assertiveness is not new. Think back to our worship service from just a couple of weeks ago in the gospel reading, where two of Jesus' closest disciples, James and John, showed that they did not have the mindset of Jesus as they grasped and asked Jesus for the privilege of being able to sit in positions of honor at his right and at his left in his kingdom. James and John and their mother, who brought that question first to Jesus on their behalf, they were seeking glory and the desire to be served by others, to be honored by others. They were asserting themselves over others. And then when the other 10 disciples heard about this request of James and John, that James and John had sought out this position of honor, they were angry. Presumably, those other 10 disciples were angry at James and John because the other 10 felt that they might be denied that honor and that glory if it was granted to James and John. And so they were arguing about who should get that glory and honor. But Jesus said to all the disciples, "Whoever wants to become great among you will be your slave, your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be your slave." And to make sure that there was no mistake about the point that he was trying to make, Jesus explained what his own mission and mindset was. He said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, I don't know whether the Apostle Paul had heard about this event in the life of Jesus and his disciples, about the disciples arguing and striving for personal glory and honor, but Jesus teaching them about his mission to serve rather than to be served certainly is something that was passed down to Christians throughout the generations. We see the Apostle Paul writing in the verses just before our sermon text today. He is urging the Christians in Philippi, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility consider one another better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." That means having the same attitude as Jesus Christ. In other words, being in the mindset of Christ. And so also thereby at the same time being out of your mind, that is, out of your own natural, sinful, self-centered mindset, out of the mindset that the devil wants you to have, focusing on yourself, seeking to gain glory and honor for yourself over other people. To put it another way, the Apostle Paul here is calling us back to our original mindset that God created people for, to be in perfect harmony with himself way back in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. That mindset that is now personified by Jesus. And as the Apostle Paul calls us to that, he gives us one of the most beautiful pictures in the whole Bible of the nature and the character of Christ. And also at the same time, one of the most demanding challenges to those who would be followers of Jesus, to get out of your mind and into the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The Apostle Paul describes it this way. He says that Jesus emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Those words certainly speak loads on this Palm Sunday as we begin Holy Week. Holy Week, which culminates in that supreme sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. What is the mindset of Christ? It is abundantly clear that it means for us what it meant for Jesus, that our ultimate concern must not be for ourselves, but for others. What a stark contrast that is between that mindset, the mindset of Jesus, and on the other hand, the rampant self-interest and self-centeredness that is actually honored and encouraged by the world around us. Look at Jesus. His mindset had a single purpose, to empty himself in service to others. Although he is the eternal, all-powerful Son of God, yet he did not consider the glory of God as a prize to be put on display for others to honor and worship him for his own personal benefit. Rather, the most glorious thing about his glory is that it was the glory of love. Love which spent itself for others. Jesus saw us, his creatures, in need because of our sins. And so he was obedient to the demands of love. He emptied himself. He had a crown, the crown that was his by right as the King of the universe, but he laid it aside and instead traded it for a crown of thorns and a cross. He is the Lord of life, the author, the creator of life, but he chose death in our place. And he shed his blood so that through him and because of him, we might be forgiven and live. That is the mindset of Christ. He lived for others. He lived and lives for us. That is the mindset that we see in Jesus, who emptied himself and who became a servant. That's the same mindset that the Apostle Paul is saying to us here in our reading from Philippians chapter 2, that we are to have in ourselves. The mindset of our self-centered, sinful nature says that I am the most important. I am the center of the universe. That everything else in the world and in the universe revolves around me and is there simply to make me happy and to please me. But Paul says to us, get out of your mind and into the mindset of Christ. Perhaps you've seen some Christian artwork using the word joy as an acronym for the priorities of the Christian life, of someone who is in the mindset of Christ. First J, Jesus, God. Jesus, God's word, the good news of God's salvation is the number one priority of life. Second, O, others. After God and praising him and hearing his word and being in a relationship with him, knowing his love for us, then we focus our attention on the needs of others, bringing this saving message of Jesus, forgiveness and eternal life to other people, helping them in whatever needs they have. And then finally, last, third, you, why? After God as the number one priority and then other people as the second priority, last comes myself. That is the mindset of Christ. That is the mindset of a servant, of someone who follows Christ, humbly seeking life, not as a struggle to get to the top, not as a struggle to advance myself and my wants and desires over other people, not so that I might be glorified, but rather as an opportunity to carry out the Father's will, just as Jesus did. It means seeing life not to as something to hang on to for all its worth, but rather as a gift that has been given to you, so that in turn you might pour it out on behalf of others. It doesn't mean going around and insisting on your rights and privileges, but instead finding fulfillment in being able to lay aside those prerogatives that you have every right to claim in order to become a servant of others. That is the mindset of Christ. That is the mindset to which God calls us. Because Jesus had that mindset. We read in the second part of our reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humble now, exalted later. Servant now, ruler later. That's the paradox, the great mystery of the Christian gospel, that, as Jesus said, the last become first. The humble are exalted. The servant becomes the master. The poor become rich. This theme, these themes run throughout the Bible from beginning to end. The Beatitudes that Jesus spoke in his Sermon on the Mount, which include many of these ideas, are Jesus' catalog of the way that things are turned upside down and inside out in God's kingdom. Jesus' description of the humble being exalted is gloriously fulfilled in his own case. As we'll see in our worship in this coming week, we'll see Jesus humiliated, mocked, beaten, tortured, persecuted, crucified, and finally dead and buried. That's the story of Holy Week. But that story concludes with Jesus' glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God, again making full use of all the power and glory that is his by right as God, all for our good. His story is also God's promise to us. It is also our story that still is yet to be fulfilled in the future. So let us heed God's call through the Apostle Paul. God's call to each and every one of us to get out of your mind and get into the mindset of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.